This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we're once again broadcasting live from the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland, Ohio, where last night the Republican delegates formally nominated Donald Trump as their party's nominee for president. Now, his nomination was advanced last night by Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, an early supporter of Donald Trump. Senator Sessions joins me in just a moment to explain why. Also, a number of familiar faces, or should I say voices, to the Washington Watch listeners are here at the convention. One of those is our good friend Todd Starnes at Fox News. He'll join us a bit later. And FRC Action teamed up with the Susan B. Anthony List to host a celebration of life and values here in Cleveland for the delegates. We had a standing room only crowd to hear from various champions of values like the Benham brothers, Senator James Lankford, Congresswoman Virginia Fox of North Carolina, former Governor Rick Perry of Texas was with us, as well as Kansas Governor Sam Brownback. Had a number of other members there for the celebration. We also had Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant. In fact, he's going to join us a little bit later here on Washington Watch to talk about this celebration of life and values. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and the topics we're covering. You can also keep up with me on Twitter, at T. Perkins, as we'll be continuing tonight to follow the convention as we hear a number of speakers here this evening. As I mentioned yesterday, it became formal. It is now official that Donald Trump is the nominee of the Republican Party. And the person who placed his name into nomination here at the convention was someone who really came out early supporting him in his bid for president. Alabama senator, strong conservative track record. A lot of people took notice when he endorsed Donald Trump in the primary. And last night, he was on the floor of the convention forwarding that nomination to the delegates. And he joins us now, Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you. It's good to be with you. I got to say, this small-town Alabama boy had an honor to be able to place the name and nomination of the man who could be the next president of the United States. And I think he'll advance the values and principles that we need. It's going to be a tough election. He's bringing in independents and Democrats and working people in a way that we haven't been able to do lately, and I think that could put him over the top.
Well, there's no question. I think it was an honor to be chosen to put his name in nomination. I mean, for any presidential candidate, to be the one to do that is a distinct honor. But I think it was a recognition of, I think, what was a very significant role you played as an early supporter of Donald Trump. And you had a lot of people that, well, quite frankly, they weren't sure about you supporting him. I want to start with why. Why did you, early on in this process, support Donald Trump?
I felt like that this country was looking for somebody that was not too identified with one party or another, somebody that spoke for the people. And it surprised me that this billionaire had the ability to talk about, courageously talk about, some of the issues that I think are important, like ending the lawlessness and immigration. It is impacting adversely wages in America. You bring in more workers than we have jobs for, wages fall. And also, I have come to believe, after being on the other side for a lot of years, that the trade deals aren't working for American manufacturing and American working people, and the collapse of high-paying manufacturing jobs has had a devastating impact on the middle class. So I thought that Donald Trump had an ability to appeal to that first group of people, and also he's laid out a good, solid conservative agenda on things like judges. That's so important. I don't have words to express how important that is. And then you've got Obamacare, which could be eliminated. We passed a law last year to eliminate Obamacare, but Obama vetoed it. If Hillary is elected, she will veto it again. If Donald Trump is elected, that law can be signed, and we can replace it with something that it doesn't surge the premiums like we're seeing from middle America today.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. As I said, we're broadcasting live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. My guest, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who last night placed the name of Donald Trump in nomination, and that is now official. He is the nominee. Last night, you said, you opened your remarks saying, fellow Americans, we must understand that the incomes of middle-class Americans today are $4,186 per year less than in 1999. This is an economic disaster. We're on the wrong track, and the people know it. You spoke a lot about the economic issues. You spoke about the global trade issues. But you are what I describe, I mean, you're like me, you're not only conservative on foreign policy and economic issues, but you're a social conservative as well. And so I want to ask you, what about those issues when it comes to Donald Trump?
Donald Trump is committed to respecting people of faith and to not using the government as we've seen it be used in recent years, hostile to people of faith. He's respectful of who our people are. They're providing a huge part. The evangelical vote was a huge part of his victory, and he knows it, and he appreciates it, and he understands it. He doesn't have, so I think across the we'll such an improvement in the relationship between our government and our president and the faith community. And by the way, Tony, I know you got to be a fan of Mike Pence, who will give the address tonight as the vice presidential nominee. Mike is certainly a long-time proven family and faith leader in our Congress and as governor. So I'm pleased that Donald Trump did that. He also has listed the kind of judges that won't be those who just seem to look for ways to undermine religious values. This is a huge issue of the judiciary by the next president.
Right. You actually mentioned two of the three issues that early I put out when Ted Cruz dropped out, who in my private capacity here on Washington Watch and the nonprofit organizations that I lead, we do not endorse or oppose candidates, but in my personal capacity, I had supported Ted Cruz. And when he got out, I said, you know, Donald Trump, in order to get solid conservative support from a much broader range of evangelicals, which he would need to win, he would have to address the judiciary in a concrete manner, which he did. He listed, he released 11 names of individuals. I know you know, we've vetted them. They're all solid conservative. But beyond that, he even said that he would seek the input of organizations like the Federalist Society. I mean, does that give you even greater comfort?
Absolutely. You know, one of our early meetings, we had Leonard Leo from the Federalist Society. We had to have Jim DeMint with the Heritage Foundation. And he offered to put those names out. I don't know, maybe he'd already talked to you or some others. He said, well, I just might put out the names. And they both said, we think that's a good idea. And the fact is, Tony, they helped with that list. He asked for all of us to put forward names that we thought would be good for the Supreme Court. And they all did, and he picked a solid list. And I've not seen a single person that's deeply involved in the judicial selection process say this is a bad list or even oppose any of them, to my knowledge.
No, it's all solid, all very solid. And then one of the other issues we put out there was that he would not manipulate the Republican platform that in 2012 became a very conservative document. And in fact, he did not. In fact, there were members of his team that actually worked to get some conservative ideas like the repeal of the Johnson Amendment, which would unmuzzle churches, taking the IRS off their back, allowing them to do, you know, speak to the cultural issues. Their team actually pushed for that. So I was frankly surprised, pleasantly, but surprised that it's the first time I've ever seen a presidential campaign that did not try to manipulate the party platform.
Well, I think he wanted to reassure people that our classical values would be respected and supported in his administration. If you just go down the list of things, I mentioned Obamacare, but then there's this huge regulatory burden that Washington is putting on people. It's almost a lot of it beyond anything constitutionally we've ever seen before. Unelected bureaucrats issuing thousands of pages of regulations. And then you've got things like, of course, the judges and Common Core. He's opposed Common Core from the day he announced his campaign, saying education should be a... Just a whole list of issue after issues that he's been on the right side. And you've got to win. And who knows, Tony? I'm not able to predict if you've given me that power, I assure you. And I don't know how it'll... that this man has a drive and he's been blessed with a strength and a will that most people don't have. And right now, I think he has the potential to reach out and bring in new voters that can move us from a Romney 48% or whatever to a 52% and a victory.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, my guest. Senator, one final question for you, and I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. I know you're busy here in Cleveland, but let me ask you a question that I get quite frequently. All right, we've laid all these things out, and look, I think he's checked the boxes. I was a little concerned about Mike Pence because Mike kind of caved last year on religious liberty, but he's right on everything else. He's been a friend for a long time. But the thing that Donald Trump, that I admire, is his courage. Even though I don't agree with him on everything, he stands up and he holds his ground. I'm hoping that rubs off on Mike. But I want to ask you this. How do we know he's going to do the things he said he's going to do?
Well, you know, political world is a tough world. And people like Mike Pence, you have to make decisions sometimes and take sometimes one step back to take two steps forward. But I do believe that... Donald Trump will be an effective advocate for the things he's pushed. He's taken very strong stands. You're right, he does have courage. And he stood up. One of the reasons our people get in trouble, the power of political correctness, this secular political correctness is so powerful that sometimes we get pushed around. And he's shown that he's willing to take a strong position even when the mainstream media and the establishment crowd attacks him. So he's getting better on his messaging. He's learning how to handle himself better as the campaign goes along. But I don't think he's going to give up this gumption stand up for what he thinks and speak out when he believes he should speak out.
Well, as he goes forward, I hope that you remain with him as you give him counsel, and I hope if there is a Trump administration that it includes Senator Jeff Sessions, because you as well have consistently displayed conviction and courage, and we're grateful for that. Senator, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony, and what you do is also a factor in creating the landscape that helps a politician to stand for the right values. If he doesn't have support, all of us tend to get run over.
That is that's true, my friend. Thanks so much for being with us, Jeff. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
All right, Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our friend Todd Starnes with Fox News. So don't go away. A lot more to come. Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi going to be joining us as well. More Washington Watch after this.
After 8 years of sustained attack on our most cherished values by the Obama administration, the 2016 presidential election will prove to be a critical juncture for our nation. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with the Values Voter Presidential Voter Guide. Determining the right presidential candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin of political rhetoric. Our voter guide includes each candidate's answer to important questions affecting faith, family, and freedom. It compiles the candidate's stated positions on a range of issues, including Planned Parenthood funding, the repeal of Obamacare, the future of natural marriage, the protection of religious liberty, and more. Go to frcaction.org/2016 to view the Values Voter Guide. You can also watch videos of the candidates explain how they would protect our religious freedom as president. Again, that's frcaction.org/2016.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Marquis Laughlin is founder of Acts of the Word Ministry and host of the radio and online show The Moral Dilemma. He challenges believers to develop a biblical worldview through dramatized illustrations and interpretive readings of the Bible.
They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Marquis Laughlin is sure to be an entertaining speaker this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plans soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We're broadcasting from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, Cleveland, Ohio. A lot of folks don't know this, but I was actually born in Ohio. I'm a native of the Buckeye State. Was born outside of Cincinnati, so it's going to be back. Actually, I never went this far north in the state of Ohio. This is, to me, almost like in Canada. But anyway, it's nice. The people have been, you know, I've been amazed how nice the people have been here. Being from the south, I'm just, you know, I'm always afraid of going up north. You never know what people are going to be like, you know. But they even have sweet tea here, so it's not bad. All right, speaking of sweet tea, my good friend Todd Starnes of Fox News is here. Todd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Wow, what an introduction, Tony Perkins, as we insult everyone north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Well, you know, it's just, the folks have been great up here.
You know, they really have. Just very gracious folks. I had a chance to speak at Painesville Baptist Church on Sunday, about an hour from Cleveland, and just some wonderful folks, great hospitality. And I have to tell you something, law enforcement here in Cleveland has just done a tremendous job keeping all of us safe.
They have, and they've been very...
patient?
Yeah, patient, professional.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, 4 years ago in Tampa, not to offend our friends in Florida, but that was not a good experience down there.
It was terrible. Yeah. Now for Fox News, you know, of course, we were also at the Democratic convention in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I would go if they invited me, but they haven't invited me.
You would have been. I was actually in the room when they tried to vote God out of the party platform. They booed God.
I wonder how that worked out.
There was a severe thunderstorm a little bit later on that day. True story.
Let's talk about what's happening here in Cleveland tonight. Speeches coming up. You've got Scott Walker, Wisconsin governor. You got Senator Ted Cruz is going to be speaking. Donald Trump on the ground, landed here in Cleveland earlier this afternoon. What are things looking like from your perspective as a journalist?
Make America First Again is the theme for tonight, and there have been plays off of that theme throughout the entire week. I for me, what's interesting as a journalist is the narrative and controlling the narrative. And as the, you know, the Trump campaign, as the nominee, they want to control the message of the day. And they, unfortunately, they have not been able to do that. Of course, after day one, we should have been talking about Rudy Giuliani's powerful message or Marcus Luttrell's incredible speech, but instead we were talking about Melania Trump's faux pas.
Yeah.
And instead of just nipping that in the bud, now 2 days later, we're still talking about it because of the campaign releasing a statement a little while ago. So again, they lost control of the narrative. Today, the narrative should have been Mike Pence delivering this big speech, his first time as the running mate, and guess what happens? We're not doing that. Not at all. We're talking about Ted Cruz. The in the words of the vernacular of Donald Trump, a lion Ted, the loser. And we're talking about Senator Cruz.
It is interesting how they have not been able to get a hold of the narrative on many of these things. I think part of it is they're still trying to get their footing as a campaign, because this campaign has been about Donald Trump and his personality, because, I mean, he's larger than life in many ways because of the reality TV bringing that into the campaign. I do think they're going to have to become more aggressive in managing the message and getting ahead of these stories, because you're right. The story about part of the speech being pulled from Michelle Obama's speech, that's been hanging over there.
And they said it wasn't true, and then today they admit it was true, that they did it. And even beyond that, the press release, they said the reason why they did it is because Melania Trump is an admirer of Michelle Obama's. Well, that's going to go over really well with the base conservatives of the Republican Party. So
I have to say, from my perspective here, though, as I've been circulating, and today we had and we're going to talk about this with Governor Phil Bryant, governor of your home state of Mississippi, in a little bit about the values, the life and values celebration we had earlier today. There's a lot of upbeat conservatives here that, even though their candidate did not win the nomination, I find that many of them are warming to the idea of Donald Trump as the party's nominee.
Well, I think there's no other way but to do that. Otherwise, Hillary Clinton wins the White House. And I think Christians, and especially the Never Trump crowd, need to understand what that means. That means you lose the Supreme Court for at least a generation if Hillary Clinton is elected. So there is a lot at stake here. It's time for folks to step up and understand there's nobody else, folks. It's Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So those are your choices for 2016, unless you want to vote for the Libertarian pothead.
You're right. And I think those that have not zeroed in on the process are listening to a lot of these theories on talk radio that have been out there that, oh, there might be a candidate emerge in the process. Well, I never thought that was going to happen, and clearly it didn't happen, because Donald Trump became the party's nominee officially last night. So it is that. It's down to Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. Which do you want?
And beyond those issues, you have things like the Second Amendment and what we're doing right here. The Fairness Doctrine could be at stake. You could have conservative radio hosts taken off the air in a Clinton administration. So people need to understand what's at stake here. This is a very important election, and it's time to take a side, choose sides.
Yeah, we cannot be timid about the views that we have. We've got to be committed. We've got to be engaged. This is not the time for Christians to sit on the sidelines.
No, it is not, Tony. And that's the role of Donald Trump on Thursday. He has to deliver an amazing speech that rallies the base, unites the party, because I hear what you're saying, but as of right now, I just don't see the party as being united. That's got to happen on Thursday night.
I think they have a lot of reasons to be united coming out here. Very solidly conservative platform. You know, the nomination complete. We know what's going to happen there. And, you know, the guy is committed to a lot of these conservative ideas.
Well, he certainly is, and I believe, you know, Mike Pence, you may not love him, but, you know, he is a conservative, he is a Christian, he is a Republican in that order, and I think that he's going to represent conservative issues, hopefully.
All right, Todd Starnes, we're up against the break. It's been so good to have you. Got 5 seconds left. What's happening at Fox News? Oh, that's just a joke. I don't want to get into that. Todd Starnes, my good friend, thanks so much for being with us. Hey, folks,
sweet
don't go away. On the other side of the break, Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi joins us to talk about the celebration of life and values. He was there, so were hundreds of delegates, along with a number of elected leaders, and we're going to tell you about it when we come back right here on Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Okay, bear with me for a minute while I talk about this, because I'll put it all together and it'll make a little bit more sense to you. But Anglo American is a company out of the UK. They're out of London, and they're a holding company primarily involved in mining all over the world. And two of their key products in which they mine are iron ore and copper. All right, so what's that got to do with anything? Well, listen. So here's what's happening. We're watching these markets, right? Irrationally, and if you don't believe me now about that whole irrationally part, you will in a month or so, but irrationally continue to move upward. Well, look, I'm as happy as you are because I have an IRA too, and I'm sure you have an IRA and 401ks and some of those things, and it makes you feel pretty good when you see this. But look, yesterday, I talked about the IMF downgrading their global outlook for growth for the fourth time this year. We are hearing about, that I talked about yesterday, concerns in the oil sector about pricing continuing to come down per barrel of oil because of, again, oversupply of oil. And now we get this report on cutting expectations for production of iron ore and copper, two very important industrial products. Look, all of this to say and to give confirmation to what I said a minute ago, the idea that the markets are going up are irrational. We have a global confirmation that industrial output productivity is likely to be lower. That's not good for the underlying fundamentals of the economy.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this. Let's see, today is Wednesday afternoon, broadcasting. You hear the noise in the background, broadcasting from the Republican Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Earlier today, we, along with FRC Action, along with Susan B. Anthony's list, hosted a celebration of life and values, the whole point being to plant a flag right here in the heart of the Republican Convention on these issues. The Democratic Party having the most, as we talked about yesterday, described as the most progressive platform in the party's history, going far left. The Republicans being described by the media as the most conservative platform in party history. And today, as conservatives, we celebrated that as a, I think a significant victory for conservatives to have a party that fully embraces issues like life, natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman, religious liberty, the rights of parents, so on and so forth. Strong national defense, strong economy, made strong by lower taxation, less government regulation and interference. All of that's in the party platform. And as we had talked about earlier, the reason that's important is because over a 30-year period, and some political scientists that looked at this F. Austin University showed that the platforms, the Republicans follow it 89% of the time. That's pretty significant. Anyway, one of our featured speakers, one of our guests, one of the champions of values that was with us this afternoon was the governor of the state of Mississippi, a frequent guest here on Washington Watch, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, Tony, thank you. And thanks for having me on. I always enjoy the show, enjoy listening, and enjoy being part of it, and love being at your lunch today.
Well, you did a great job in kicking us off as we had a number of, we had several governors, some senators, congressmen talking about these values issues. I don't know. I want to ask you, from my perspective, I see a lot of upbeat conservatives here in Cleveland. But I want to get your sense, as you have moved around from delegation to delegation, event from event, what are you sensing among Republicans?
Absolutely. It is the conservatism. Only if I can use that, it is more value-based. There are individuals who have not been politically active in the past. In our own delegation here in Mississippi, many of them, this is their first convention. They've never run for office. But they are worried about America. They're worried about the values of this country disappearing. They're seeing attacks on this nation not only by terrorists, but attacks on our police and law enforcement. They're seeing the President of the United States blame the police for much of this. And so they're concerned enough to use their own financial support to come to the national convention and being a part of this, but I agree with you. There is a new conservatism that I am seeing with people who are now politically active who have not been in the past. They are off the sidelines and they are in the game. And look at the turnout you had. As you said, governors, I think Rick Perry spoke right before me, congressmen that you were introducing that were in the crowd. That is a sign of the impact that the value summit, that the value platform is having on elected officials in Washington, and thank goodness you are.
Well, I appreciate that, Governor. As you look at these individuals you just described, and I saw the same thing in my involvement in the platform committee, is this because Barack Obama has been so committed to driving a liberal agenda that has moved us so far from the center that people are now pushing back?
I think that's certainly the largest part of it, but they've also seen this administration devalue human life. Basically, up to this administration, there would be no protection, zero for the unborn, is very little, if any, now. But he's devalued that life. He has abandoned our military. I was in Afghanistan in April, and I can tell you they're doing all that they can to barely hold on there in Iraq and in Afghanistan. They've seen the unrest at home. Racial relations are the worst that they've been since the 1960s. They're seeing a general population that is being incentivized not to work. More social programs are being added every day. The businesses are being attacked because they are successful. So everything that this president, when he came in and said he was going to fundamentally change America, he's done just that. And they realize that our children and our children's children must have values, must have the same freedoms and opportunities that was America, that still can be America in this shining city on the hill that we live in. And I believe that altogether, the Obama agenda, which will also be the Hillary Clinton agenda, doubles down, is the reason that they are so emotionally involved in this process.
Governor, we're up against the break, and I have one final question. Can you hold on over the break? I have one other question, and I'll let you go. Can you do that, or you have something else
sure.
pressing?
I'll do it.
Okay, Governor, hold on. Governor Bryant's going to stick around with us. I've got one final question for him when we return here on Washington Watch. Then we're going to go to the phone line. So don't go away. More Washington Watch coming to you live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
People always ask me, what all do you see in Washington, D.C. when you go on your spiritual heritage tour? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I guess the better question is, what don't we see when we go to our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour? We're going to be going in September the 14th through the 17th. The Capitol, all the monuments, the Arlington National Cemetery, the National Archives, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, We're even going to George Washington's Mount Vernon on Saturday. So it's going to be a great time in our nation's capital. One of the best aspects of this is we get to spend time together with brothers and sisters from across the country. So if you want more information on our tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown trip, either one of those or both of those, you can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Mom is a face washer, a coupon clipper, and a listening ear. She's a diaper changer, a laundry folder, and a mender of hearts. She's a master juggler of the jobs of the day. She's simply incredible and incredibly busy. At 1 Million Moms, we understand the hurried pace of the average mom. That's why we've made it so easy for you to take a stand against the trash that's in today's media. Visit 1millionmoms.com.
Consider serving the Lord with Friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And let me remind you, this program comes to you because of people like you. We do not receive any government money. We're all supported. We are supported completely and totally by friends, supporters, partners around the country. If you'd like to become a partner with the Family Research Council and Washington Watch, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we were talking with Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, who has who agreed to stay with us for just a couple more, just one more question, a couple minutes. Governor, thanks for sticking around. I want to ask you this question because I know this, because I, earlier in the program, described in my personal capacity, I supported Ted Cruz in the primary, and I know you did as well. You are now supportive of Donald Trump, and I want to ask how you came to that decision after Ted dropped out of the race, that you, not just passively, but you have been aggressively supporting Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I came to it immediately, Tony, because I realized at that point, he's a nominee. So it would be a simple choice, actually, between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton would be a disaster for this nation. She would appoint three, at least, maybe more Supreme Court justices that would have an effect on this country for the next 40 years. We will not recognize America after those judges are appointed and after she exercises the administrative authority she will have as President of the United States to the great detriment of the things that you and I believe in and hold sacred. And destroy the Constitution. I know what this woman is capable of doing. I've seen what the Clintons have done to America over the last 30 years. So immediately I realized that Donald Trump could surround himself with really good men. Mike Pence is a dear friend of mine. He and Karen are friends of ours. And he is a godly man that will stand next to Donald Trump. He has a a team of rivals, if you will, if he begins to look at those that ran against him that now will be supporting. Ted will be speaking tonight as a potential appointment in very important positions. Now, he can do have a remarkable effect on America's future in a way that we would appreciate. While Hillary Clinton will do all that she can to continue what Barack Obama has started. So it didn't take me but a moment. I tweeted out that night, as soon as Ted dropped out, that I'd be supporting Donald Trump, and I'm doing so enthusiastically, and I believe we're going to win this campaign.
When you lay it out in the options that are before us, as you described, it becomes a pretty easy decision, I think, to make, because there are only two options. There's Hillary Clinton and there's Donald Trump.
Well, I'm going to speak, make another speak, and 7 o'clock tonight.
Well,
Tony,
I will.
What you did, your hard work on the platform committee. I know my Secretary of State, Delbert Hoseman, and my treasurer, Lynn Fitch, were our appointees from Mississippi. And we have, I think, one of the most conservative platforms the Republican Party's ever had. And thank you for being a part of that.
Well, thank you, Governor. And I'll see you on the floor tonight, the Mississippi delegation right next to the Louisiana delegation. So I'll see you this evening.
We'll be there. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Governor. Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi. All right, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation here in the remaining portion of Washington Watch as we broadcast here from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. You can hear the noise in the background, pretty noisy place, a lot of activity here. And I have to say, I think a lot of excitement, maybe a lot of folks coming here undecided about what they wanted to do. It's not been without its bumps. Obviously, a debate Monday night over the rules. Don't want to gloss over that in any way. But from my personal engagement, as I've talked about on the platform committee, pleasantly surprised with what took place. And I think I'm going to leave here optimistic about what we might be able to accomplish in the future. But it all comes down to the ability that we have as Americans to engage in this process and to influence and to work and to help convince people. And that includes, I mean, that's at every level. That includes even here in speaking into the campaign and helping them understand these issues better in surrounding them with the right people on a number of these issues. All right, 866-372-7234. We're going to go to Louisiana where Ryan is on the line. Ryan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, Mr. Perkins. I was calling because I've noticed since Mr. Trump defeated Mr. Cruz that your support of Mr. Trump has been tepid at best, which I don't really understand because this election, to me, it appears to me, is going to be a turning point for religious freedom. And I think that all religious leaders, and that includes yourself, I consider you to be a religious leader, I think that all Christian and other religious leaders are just going to have to come out full guns and enthusiastic support of Mr. Trump to get out the vote, because if Christians don't come out in big numbers, Mr. Trump is going to lose.
Well, I do not disagree with your analysis of the political landscape, Ryan. And here's where I am. And thanks for the call and thanks for the input. When Ted Cruz dropped out of the race, and again, I supported Ted. And if I make my support of Donald Trump will be as an individual, not as any of the organizations that I, nonprofit organizations that I lead, nor this program. But the issue when Ted Cruz dropped out, I'm not going to automatically fall in line with the Republican nominee just because they're the Republican and they're not the Democrat. I just don't play that way. We've been working to influence and to help guide the nominee, the potential nominee, who now is formally the nominee, to be successful. And that doesn't come, success doesn't come just by automatically endorsing somebody. Endorsements really don't make a whole lot of difference. my input into the campaign is of more value as to what does it take for them to build the confidence of social conservatives. And quite frankly, they've taken input and they've listened. And there were three things when Ted got out of the race that I said he needs to do to I think, successfully connect with social conservatives. One, judges. We know as social conservatives, as Christians, what the court has done to the political and cultural landscape of this country. Go back to 1973, Roe v. Wade, over 50 million abortions as a result of the court interjecting itself into this issue. Last year, the court redefining marriage after 50 million Americans had voted to defend it. We know what the court does. So we talked about it earlier with Jeff Sessions. He released a list of 11 potential nominees, all solidly conservative, and said he would seek input from groups like the Federalist Society. Check that box. He did it. The second thing I said was that he needed to not manipulate and water down the party platform. I thought I was setting the bar pretty high because every presidential campaign I've encountered with the Republicans have tried to strong arm on the platform. He didn't do it. They actually worked with us on a number of these issues. I checked that box. That's two of three. The third was that he would select a conservative running mate that could connect with social conservatives. Now, I've talked about on this program a number of times my disappointment with Mike Pence because he caved on religious liberty in Indiana last year. That's not a minor issue. It's a huge issue. However, I've known Mike for 20 years, and he's a solid believer. He's right on all the issues. He just lacked the courage, I think, which leaders need. However, having said that, I give Donald Trump credit, full credit, for trying to connect with social conservatives by selecting Mike Pence. So he checks all three boxes. I think he's on his way. Now, if you automatically just say, I'm going to support a Republican candidate because he's Republican, they don't necessarily listen to the input of what it takes to get to gain the support of conservatives. So we're working through that process. I don't want just a Republican to get elected. And good, but you don't have to tell me what Hillary Clinton would mean to this country. I've lived each and every day with Barack Obama as president, so I get that. But I want Donald Trump, who is now the nominee, to be successful. And to do that, he's got to continue growing in his understanding of the issues and embracing of the policies that can make America great again. America's not going to be made great again just because of an election. You know, I think of Alexis de Tocqueville, who traveled this country in the 1800s searching for the source of America's greatness. And he said he looked in the factories and looked in all these different places, the politics. He didn't find it there. Where he found it was in the pulpits of America. See, America is great because America was good. And if America wants to rediscover its greatness, it has to rediscover its goodness, and that's its moral goodness. We've got to return to being one nation under God. And I think, as you pointed out correctly, Ryan, that his defense of religious liberty probably the strongest argument for supporting Donald Trump, because he's not going to fix America, but he's going to give the church, I believe, the space it needs to do its work so America can be great again. Thanks, Ryan, for the call. I'm going to try to work in another one here. 866-372-7234. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let's go to Ohio, where Dirk is on the line. Dirk, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello there. Thank you, Mr. Perkins, for taking my call. Just a quick comment here. I hope that people that are considering not voting, sitting on their hands, etc., that they pay attention to who supported Donald Trump initially. I know Dr. Jeffers in Dallas did. He cannot as a pastor, but it's evident his mind and spirit was behind him. Dr. Carson, Jerry Falwell Jr., etc. Mike Huckabee, his daughter on his campaign. I'll hang up now. I just wanted people to think and hear that from you, if you would please, that they consider this, how important. Thank you, sir.
All right, Dirk, thanks so much for listening, for calling in. That's absolutely right. You had some people like my friend Robert Jeffers, who was early out for him, as well as Jerry Falwell Jr. But I think more important than that are the people that, as they are now making this journey to support, and that's why I was asking, well, I had Jeff Sessions on earlier. He was early in the support, but I talked to Governor Bryant, and there's others I'm talking to, as they made that journey, as I said, from not being supportive to being supportive. What was it that triggered it for them? I think that's important as well. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We're going to go to Missouri, where Betty is on the line. Betty, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment and get your opinion. In watching the conference last night, or convention, I mean, you know, it seems that it's a bit unorganized, a bit kind of bleak. They're supposed to talk about jobs, and I don't think anybody really mentioned jobs too much, and you know, you've got Ryan and McConnell getting up there and managing to give their entire speech. I don't think they even mentioned Donald's name. You know, so you can see that there's still not that unity. They want unity as far as to win, but it concerns me. Do you think Donald, he seems to have kind of incompetent people running his campaign? Too many stupid rookie mistakes keep happening, which are hurting him in the media. And do you think he actually will get people that know what they're doing? We keep hanging on saying he'll get people that know what they're doing, and you know, and then everything will be fine. But he doesn't seem to be doing that, you know, as far as his own campaign goes.
Betty, a great question, because a lot of people have commented on that. And running a campaign is like like starting up a Fortune 500 business when you're running for the presidency, and it is challenging. It's difficult, and this is a world that was unknown to him, and his campaign primarily centered around his persona, his media personality. He is a media personality, and that's really what everything focused on. When you looked at his rallies, his events, if people came out to see him, it wasn't because there was a infrastructure generating turnout. We even saw that in the primary states. You know, you talk about infrastructure and organized. Ted Cruz had an organization. Donald Trump has not. However, I mean, I give him time to change that. I think he is making selections, but it is, I'm telling you, it is a major, major undertaking to set up a presidential campaign. A lot of people have been holding back pending the outcome of the convention. So I think a lot of talented people will start coming into the campaign. They will begin working on it, and I think you're going to see some things improve there. But on the other side of that, one of the things I seem to see, I think, you know, all this is very fluid, but that the fact that they're not managing every message on the floor. Now, some will say, well, that's a bad idea. They ought to manage everything. Well, they give people freedom. They're not the heavy-handed politicians, and that, frankly, somewhat refreshing that they're not doing that. But you're right, they got to make sure they are managing the campaign effectively and efficiently. I think they're going to get there, quite frankly. All right, folks, out of time for today. Thanks so much for joining us for yet another edition of Washington Watch. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, visit the website, tonyperkins.com. Or on Twitter, at T. Perkins. You can keep up with events tonight as we continue here. I'll be on the floor up until late tonight. And later tonight, I'll be on Fox Business with Neil Cavuto talking about the speeches after they're over. That's tonight about 11 o'clock Eastern, way past my bedtime. In the meantime, remember the words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.